Yes, I was recording instead of I was playing instead of recording. So Gil, I think you're on something. Yona, you want to help us out a little bit?
So I guess an idea is the house is a permanent structure,
right?
And
since by nature the house is a permanent structure, when I look at it in terms of the structure. Yeah.
Then when it falls down, it detracts from the very shame of the structure.
That's it. It's something that is permanent by definition. Once it's in a heap, it's a pile of rubble. Basically, it's not a permanent structure anymore.
Yeah, but you could say the same thing about the sukkah.
Whoa, slow down.
No, it's just a problem.
One thing at a time.
I mean, it would be a much bigger shame for the permanent structure.
Right. Once the house falls down, what do I say? I say it's not functioning as a house anymore. This thing was supposed to be a permanent structure, and now it's gone. Now it's true, I reconstituted, I put it back together, so there's a tzad to say it's something new, even though it came from the same material, even though it's in the same exact place. But because there's that interim period where the house ceases to exist, how do I know it ceases to exist? Because where is the house? Well, the house is a permanent structure. There's no house here. The house is mufka. Right? The sukkah, I don't want to stop in the middle. Sukkah.
So sukkah, like everybody else was saying, is a temporary structure, and it's expected to come down, and if it does fall apart, it's not such a big deal, because its very nature is temporary.
Right, so the sukkah, since the sukkah is inherently a diras aroi, right, part of the definition of this structure is that it goes up and comes down, unlike a house. That's built into the definition of this structure. So when it comes down, do I say, it's ruined? There's no more sukkah? No. Do I say there's no more diras aroi? Well, what do you mean? That's the whole nature of diras aroi, that it goes up and comes down. It's not a permanent structure. So the fact that it came down, even though I'm going to reconstitute it with the same material, I don't have to say that's a new structure, or perhaps dafka because it's the same material. I mean, that's a question. Rashi tells us that was yesterday's issue, but putting that aside, since the nature of the sukkah is inherently diras aroi, the sukkah is a temporary dwelling, temporary building, type of building. When the sukkah comes down, I don't look at the interim period before it goes up again and saying the sukkah has been mufka. It's been mafkiya the shame diras aroi. Why would I say that? It can't get less aroi. That's its very nature. So I put it back together. I say it's the same structure, same sukkah. That's what you want to say? I think that's what you're saying also. Okay, that's good. You have any other approaches? Yona?
Why can't you just say you could put the house back up as the same structure?
Because the house, by definition, was supposed to be a house when it was together. It was supposed to be a house.
There's no bias.
Where is the house now? I can't say I have a house anymore. A house is permanent. Obviously, it wasn't permanent anymore. It stopped being permanent. Once it stopped being permanent, it stopped being a house. Even though I'm going to take the same substance and put it back together, now I have a new house.
So it has the same form.
Right. The same
time,
it looks the same. It looks the same. It smells the same. What do you say? So I don't want to get into that. I don't think you have to say that. Let's say it's exactly the same. Rashi says it's in the same place, the same midos, and that's it. Same meets and bounds. It's the same sukkah. Didn't you have another mahalach in terms of... Okay, so Yonah wanted to offer another suggestion.
Okay, so another possible is instead of...
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'll have to get on that. Yeah.
Sure. So the first idea that we were looking at was the Hefza lens. The next idea can be the Dira lens, which is to say that if you have an established Dira that occurs in a house, so if there's then a break... The house falls down, so practically speaking, you can't use it anymore. That's a break in the dira, and that actually registers because the dira is an established dira. In the case of a sukkah, then the inability.
So you're saying, don't look at it in terms of the edifice, not in terms of the structure, but in terms of the way you use, in terms of the function, in terms of the way you use it. Right? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Right. Not so much in terms of the place or the space, in terms of the use of that space. So how does one dwell in a house?
Yeah. So it's an established form of dwelling. So any sort of break is a hefsek. And then if you were to rebuild it, it would still have its purpose was undermined completely, and now it finally is rebuilt, but that's still a new, it's like a new purpose is coming into existence. In the case
in
of
your house.
In the house.
Since a house is supposed to afford me a constant haven, right? Since it's supposed to provide constant and uninterrupted shelter, supposed to be my makom of kvius. Once the house falls down, even though I'm going to put it back in the same space, during that interim period, I don't have that. I don't have the benefits that are supposed to be afforded to me by being a homeowner. Right? I don't have a makom kvius anymore. I don't have a space in which I'm afforded the constant and uninterrupted shelter. So therefore, there's something deficient. I can't say that I have a house. You know, I put it back together again. Okay, so now I have a new space that provides that for me. It happens to be in the same spot, but since it was not uninterrupted, it was deficient. It was a deficiency in my kvius, right? In the way I veil myself of that space, there was an interruption. It undermined the utility of the house. Is what you're saying? Is that correct? Okay. That's good. And what about the sukkah? Sukkah's not like that. By definition, sukkah's not like that. Why not?
Sukkah's temporary.
Right. Sukkah's DSRI. Sukkah is DSRI. So my whole existence in the sukkah is one of temporariness, temporary nature.
Yeah, but what about teshu, right? So if you hold that your house is keva, you should somehow make your sukkah keva.
Okay.
So then, I mean...
But what does that mean? Maybe that means do all the things that I normally do at home in the sukkah.
That's not a functional
thing. That's what I'm saying. That could be in terms of what you're supposed to do there. Normally you sleep in your house, you sleep in the sukkah. Normally you eat in your house, you eat in the sukkah. Sometimes you travel. You're allowed to travel outside the sukkah. I mean, that's we discussed that already in terms of Teshu King Tadiru, in terms of the different peturim for the Holich Badarach, or the Chola, or all those cases where we say that it doesn't fly in the face of your... Dira, right? In the manner in which you are a dar, they're not in opposite. Certain exceptions. Yeah.
So teshu came to duras is contained.
Did see that case in the Rosh where the sukkah has to be roi for both sleeping and eating. And there was a sheet of the hell that way that the sukkah itself had to be fit for all the things that you do. Otherwise, it's a chisaron and teshu came to duras. So if you have a sukkah in which you can only eat but you don't feel comfortable sleeping in. Does anyone remember this? Does it sound familiar? If the sukkah is only fit for eating but not for sleeping, there were those shittas that maintained that's not a good sukkah. And there were some that brought that lahalacha. And we said that it's a very practical issue. If you're walking down Main Street, USA, and you have a lot of kosher restaurants, and some of those restaurants have sukkahs that are not really fit for sleeping because you wouldn't sleep there. You wouldn't want to sleep on that street. You wouldn't want to sleep on Broadway in Manhattan or Main Street in Queens or Central Avenue because you're open on the public, you're on the sidewalk. Maybe you wouldn't feel so secure. That's one thing. If it's in the parking lot or something. Or mine. No, let's say during the day you'd feel secure eating there. You don't mind eating there.
I know what I'm saying, but
could be that you can't eat there. That's right. It could be that it's not a kosher sukkah to eat it. I'm not saying everyone passes that way. I'm just saying that's... Okay, there are a lot of cases like that. You know, it's one thing if it closes and it has a door and it locks, but most sukkahs are not. According to some shittos, right? It's lacking in shame sukkah. I'm not passing exactly. I tried very carefully. Did I say it enough times? According to that shitta, we said it actually is lacking in teshu king tediru. That was a bit of a chiddush. That was a chiddush. To say that the sukkah, which is otherwise kosher structurally, since I can't do all the things in there which I must do, I mean, I can only eat there, but I can't sleep there, since it's lacking in teshu king tediru, now the whole sukkah is lacking. I mean, that's not a simple understanding of the yisod, but that clearly was that shita. Okay? I think the poskim say, l'chadchili, should try to ensure that the sukkah is that way, that you could do everything in the same sukkah.
So if you feel safe in your house,
that might be different. You're talking about in a case where simply I can't build a sukkah It's not that I chose to put it in a place where it was lacking.
It's going
yeah.
to be.
You could say the same thing about the weather. And let's say, you know, it's not like I put it in a place where it's very cold. It's cold everywhere. It's not like I put the sukkah in a place where the external conditions were such where I could have chosen A over B, and I put it in a place where it was deficient. You know, I didn't put it near a beehive. This whole neighborhood is overrun with bees. It's not that I put the sukkah in a place where the sukkah is now lacking from some external factor, which I should have avoided. Yeah, in a chanami, in that case, it might be different. You're right. Okay. So let's turn. Okay, there were two things that came up in the mitzvah. The issue that you were referring to now, again, we're on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The issue that you're referring to now with the Mechza al Mechza.
Can I read?
Yeah. You said Mechza Mechza?
I said Mechza Mechza.
I mean Ro. Right. So the Ra and the Ritva both learn that within the Mahalach of Tosros, it would be sufficient if you had Rove of the old substance. You don't need all the old substance. You just need Rove of the old substance. And that's the general halacha when you require Rove. You say Rubo Ke Kulo. The Ran, I think, takes that up and says the way they come up with that, there's no reason to say it, right? So the Ran's not necessary to say that. All right, but I'm talking more about the first part of the Ran. That's the first part of the Ritzvah. Girsas Mixas Svar Ma'udetema, and another, he has another Girsa. Did anyone get a chance to look at it? So you guys want to follow along? Someone want to follow along? Yes, no?
Maybe.
Go ahead. So it's Ritzvah Dibra Masno Pshita.
Girsa Mixas Svar Ma'udetema Lixar
So again, this is a different Pshita Mahu Detema. The Argamar says Pshita Mahu Detema. Hayachrisihi ve'ino l'shiva kamash malano. But the Ritva says there were other Girsos that had slightly different. It wasn't Pshita Mahu Detema Achrisi, but I would say Pshita Mahu Detema. What? Negzar Dilma osi lamevat sukkah ra'ua me'ikara. Maybe I'll think that I shouldn't allow you to... Like on Cholamoy. Say Cholamoy, say you're not allowed to... cut your hair on the Chol HaMoed, even if you cut your hair before Chol HaMoed, even as before Yontif. This is the traditional understanding. I'm not saying everyone agrees with this either, but normally we assume that you don't take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Why? Oh, because we want to make sure that you do it before. But let's say a guy does it before.
Yeah.
Right? Does it before? We still say you shouldn't. I mean, that's the traditional understanding. Rav had a different approach. Rav Moshe is a different sheet altogether. Rav Moshe was if you do it all the time. I mean, that's Rav Moshe argued on the. I forget exactly. They know that Yehuda was involved in that machlokas. But just putting that aside for the moment, my point is like this: that sometimes where it goes there, X, lest you do Y. The basic understanding of the halacha is we don't want you to take a haircut or shave on Chol HaMoed, even if you did it before. Why? Because we don't want people to dafka leave it before. Gezerah that a person might come into the regal manuvel. So the guy says, oh, if I could shave on Chol HaMoed, then I won't shave Erev Yontif. You know what? Don't shave on Chol HaMoed. That's the general understanding of that halacha.
But you can't shave on Chol HaMoed.
The reason is why you shouldn't shave on Chol HaMoed is because we don't want you to come into the regal looking in manuvel. We don't want a guy to say, you know what? Why should I shave today? I'll go with a 2-day growth and on Chol HaMoed I'll shave. We don't want your person to come into the regular looking manuvel. It's a gezeira. Gezeira that you might do that. So the Gemara is saying a similar type of thing over here. Maybe why do you need to tell me that I could put my sukkah back and have it be considered old sukkah? Isn't that pashut? And have it considered to be a sukkah shiva. Isn't that pashut? So the Ritva says that there was a girsa which said, Ma'alatema, what would I think? I would think that I shouldn't be allowed to put my sukkah back up now. I shouldn't be able to shave now because of what I might do Erev HaRegel. What I'll do Erev HaRegel? I'll put up a crummy sukkah. I'll put up a sukkah that's not really sound. It's not structurally sound. It would be lacking in sukkah. It wouldn't be a great sukkah. So I don't want a person to do that. I don't want a person to put up a sukkah re'uah. So I'll be gozer. You know what? I want to make sure you put up a nice sukkah. So if your sukkah falls down a Chol HaMoed, you can't put it back up. So now I know I can't put up a subpar sukkah. I have to put up a sound sukkah. Just like I won't go into the regular looking manuvel because I know I'm not going to be able to shave in Chol HaMoed, so too I won't put up a junky sukkah. Kamash malon, no. No what?
No
such gazer. Okay, go ahead.
No such ability to make.
Well, that's the next point. Let's see what he says in the next point. So that's Kamashwalan, no. That's just the girsa. That's the girsa. Then he expounds on that girsa. How so? He's just saying, in a case where the sukkah is going to be kosher, midaraisa, it doesn't really make sense to even make such a gzera.
Aren't there things like that, though?
That what?
That midaraisa you should do it, but the gzera says you don't do it? I can't think of...
Yeah, but he's going to give a qualification when such a thing would apply. You're right. In some cases, where the rice would be kosher, but the rabbanu would go in for certain reasons. But he's saying over here that even such a consideration doesn't make sense. Why? He's telling you like you sowed in gzeris, basically.
Yeah.
Right. That gzera, he says, is not really... He doesn't think it makes sense. Why? Da filu... I think it's Shekach.
Oh, Dafil Tema Shekach Mitzvasa, Rabbi Eliezer, Shilola Sukkah Re'uah.
Let's say that's true. Let's say Rabbi Eliezer demands that the Sukkah not be a Sukkah Re'uah. Meaning, Sukkah Re'uah Chol Sheva assumes that it cannot be Sukkah Re'uah. Sukkah Re'uah would not be Sukkah Re'uah Chol Sheva. Let's say that. Okay?
Ella Shetehei Kayemet L'Zayin.
Meaning that would be the opposite of Sukkah Re'uah.
Yeah.
Can't be sukkah ru'ah. It must be sukkah shekayamet l'zayin. Lav milsa b'shchichahi.
Yeah, lav milsa b'shchichahi. It's not something that's common.
That's why he not goes there. In general, you find that throughout the halachic system. Chazal will not go there on something that's not shchiach. It's not common. Shchiach, not common. Or shchiach is common. Lav shchiach is uncommon. Okay, so it's lav milsa b'shchichahi. This is not a milsa that's shchiach. You don't make a gzera d'rabbanan on something that's not a normal situation to arise. Yeah, give me. Okay, let's finish the ritva. So since it's not a milsa de shchicha, then what? That what? That what's not a milsa de shchicha? That guy's gonna make such a crummy sukkah.
Yeah.
Guy's gonna make a sukkah that can't even withstand the normal wear and tear for a week. Who's gonna do that? That's not shchiach. Therefore, I'm not gonna make such a gezerah. Ki hechi the nesre b'sukkah mehai time that I should aser this sukkah, meaning that he'd be able to aser that sukkah and subsequently putting that sukkah back up. To ensure that he doesn't put up a sukkah re'uah. Okay. So what do you see from here, though? Oh, nuts. What do you see from here, from the Ritva's Lashon? What the Ritva's making is all about shchiach and not shchiach. Since it's not shchiach, therefore Chazal warrant goes that you not make it. Right? What if it was milsa de shchicha? And Dov, this was your question. Let's say it was milsa de shchicha. What would you say from here?
That there would be gzera.
Yeah. That there, such a gzera would be made. And what would happen? You'd be basically telling a guy, that's it, your sukkah blew down, too bad. Mm. Right? I mean, isn't that the consequence? Isn't that the natural consequence of that gzera? We don't want you to put your sukkah back up because we want to make sure you made a sukkah before, a proper sukkah before. Your sukkah blew down now? Oh, maybe you'll make such a gzera. But what would the gzera mean? The gzera would mean that you can't write your sukkah. You can't rebuild a sukkah.
Okay, fine. That's why I couldn't understand the ramifications
of gzera. So this is the general... This is like the general idea that Chachamim could be oker a mitzvah. It could be oker a mitzvah b'sheva al tasa. Yesh koch yad Chachamim lakor dov sheva Torah b'sheva al tasa. Now you're right. This is stomach chalmoy. It's not going to be a doraisa, but in general, Chachamim have the ability to do that to protect the system. You want to protect the overall system of mitzvahs. You want to make sure that people are going to build proper sukkahs. So in a situation where a person now is going to eat a meal, he's chayav to eat in the sukkah, they'll tell him, no, you can't do sukkah anymore. right? You can't be mekayem mitzvah sukkah. Why? Because you violated this din. You didn't make a proper sukkah. It had a lot of ramifications. The only reason, according to the Ritva, why this gezeirah wouldn't be... Again, we don't have this girsa either. But according to this girsa, according to the Ritva's understanding of this girsa, the only reason why we don't have such a gezeirah... Why do you have to do mitzvos that are nighttime mitzvos before chatzos? Yeah, why? Because you might come to push it off and not do it. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah holds that if you didn't say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis before Chatzos, you don't have to say it anymore. You don't say it. You don't say it.
You missed it.
You can't say it.
That's the Rabbanu.
Yeah.
But
I'm saying it's a rabbinic.
Yeah, but it's still, you shouldn't say it.
Yeah, but it's a rabbinic patch, if you will, on a mitzvah d'oraisa.
Yeah,
right? Shachlo Kumecha is a d'oraisa. Even though, as far as the Torah is concerned, you could say it all night, the Rabban said, no, we want to make sure that you say things early enough, because we don't want you to not say it. So what did he say? If you didn't say it, no, now you don't say it.
That seems like a crazy approach. Like,
that's Rabbeinu Yonah.
Just
be careful. It's Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm just joking. Okay. Rabbeinu Yonah Shita. This is Rabbeinu Yonah Shita. Rabbeinu Yonah holds that about Kriya Shema.
So you can't say it past.
Because of the concern that we don't want people pushing it off indefinitely. Yeah, I'm not saying we pass them that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you have a problem in life where people, like, I'm just trying to think of, like, that approach is, you have a problem that too many people are forgetting it, and so they're not making it on time. So what do? You cut the time in half.
That's
like
right.
It's a funny, I don't even understand if logically I understand the efficiency of that idea. As in, the problem is by 5 in the morning, or whatever it is, a certain amount of people haven't said it yet. So what do? You make it cut off time at midnight.
Yeah, why aren't people saying it?
Well, what about all the people now that forget to say it before midnight?
Why aren't people saying it?
Later.
No, people aren't saying it for the... Right, they're not saying it because they're not machshav it. They're saying it because they say, okay, I'll do it later. And then later comes and say, oh, that's it, I can't do it.
Right,
but if I tell... But if I... No, but apparently the human nature is such that if I'm machshav something, I know there's an absolute latest... time.
You know, there's an absolute latest time.
It's all night. The absolute latest time in HaTorah is all night.
So Chazal said,
you can't do it all night anymore. Why? Because if we let you do it all night, then all night might pass and you might not have done it. So I'm going to give you a hard and fast time by which you have to do it. So you're saying that there still might be people that have to do that? Yeah, that's true.
So then your response to that should be to cut it back another 2 hours.
But you've protected the mitzvah in general by giving people the... You know, this bright line rule, basically, that this is a time by which you have to say.
You can't miss the time by cutting the time back. It's like if people were late to airline flights at 11:30, so you change the time of departure to 9 o'clock. You didn't make it that. You didn't actually help. You know what I mean? Because people were sleeping in.
Give me an example. I have a relative that's notoriously late to events. Yeah. So what do people do when they want to come? They tell them the thing starts a half an hour early. So no, he's gonna come a half hour late, so it'll be a half hour late instead of an hour late. You understand?
Yeah, so it's fine to do for that guy, but do that for the whole nation. Do that
no,
for
but
the whole family to have that
No,
late.
But my point
you know that uncle comes
But
late.
I'm saying my point is that you instilled a mechanism, you employed a system by which you're ensuring that people are not gonna mess up. And there might be people that fall through the cracks.
Is
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got
the logic of
you understand what he's saying?
Yep.
All right, you want to? Okay,
yeah, so
we have a rebuttal.
Okay, I've heard that before.
Okay.
Yeah. So part of it is that by putting this extra gezeirah in place, at least in the Shema case,
yeah,
you're emphasizing that that in this particular situation, people are likely to fail according to the deraisa constraints. So in other words... It's like you're putting a big stamp on the thing so that people pay attention to what's going on, right? If all you did was have the deraisa thing, then yeah, people are going to be late. You know, let's say 10% of the population is going to miss it each night. Over here, we're putting it at 12:30.
But because we're putting it on 12:30 and we're emphasizing it, it becomes a whole big deal. It's like you're publicizing it. So now, of that, you know, the 90% who do it the right way anyway are still good.
You're sensitizing people. You're sensitizing people.
You know, they put it to me on time on Shoppers. You guys on the left, but they don't put it, you know, by 8 o'clock, no matter what Shoppers has to be said. You don't see anyone doing that out of the concern that people...
No, because there's a Zman Tefila. It's not all night. It's very amorphous. All night.
You have all morning to say
no, you don't.
All
halachic
morning.
You have till, you know, Gimel Shalos for Shema, Dal Shalos for Shabbos. Yeah, but those are bright line rules. That's a certain time. So you're right. There are certain things a person is not supposed to do because he might push things off. I mean, you have other halachas like that. Once this man for Mitzvah comes, the person is not supposed to be Kovei Asud. The person is not supposed to do something else before. Why? Because he might get involved and he might push it off. We have rules like that. But once you give a person open ended time, say it's all night or all day.
Right.
Then you tell a person, okay, all night is just too dangerous. The guy's going to keep pushing it off until there's no more night left. So you give him a time.
Yeah, think about it another way.
Midaraisa, if you did it later.
You're not saying that the time to say it is this time. You're saying this is the last time you can say it.
That's right.
You're just, all you're doing is shortening the amount of time people have to say
by,
it.
By making it definite.
More effective, but I can say that you're excluding more people.
I'm protecting.
Because
by creating a specific time, you're giving people direction. You're giving people.
It's a specific time that you can't say it anymore. Yeah, that's a specific time to say it. They already have a specific time to say it. It's all night. So now you're just saying, no, you can't say it all night. You can only say it half night.
That's right.
So,
but I've given you some direction now. I've given you some guidelines. It's just human nature. If you don't give people direction, sometimes they don't do anything. When you give people direction, they do things.
I mean, that's just, instead of having 9 hours to do it, you have 4 hours to do it. Or what, you know what I mean? Whatever it is.
Instead of being open-ended, it has parameters.
But and once you give it, all you're doing is shortening the parameter. It had a parameter from the time of sundown or
that fluctuates
until the time of sunrise.
Fine.
So that is a certain amount of time. Now, all you've done is said, well, that is too much time because people just say all night. I understand it's human nature.
Right.
So you cut it in half.
I reined you in a little bit. Right.
You cut it in half. But, A, why don't you then just cut that in half again? I don't see why that would be your only, what decides it at that
point? Now, you ask me why they chose Chatzos as opposed to something else?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a different question. That's a different question. Why they chose that time?
And why they think that is going to, by cutting it in half, why they think more people are going to say it on time by doing that?
That's what I'm trying to explain. Because by sensitizing people to the fact that there's a limited amount of time here, and you have to do it by a certain time, people are going to be more vigilant.
People weren't making the time, so now what you're doing is you're limiting the time even more.
I understand what you're saying.
Another idea.
You're saying just making it worse.
Yeah.
Another idea is that of that 10% of people, say half of them are going to say, "Ah, well, we'd rather be over the Isser the Rabbanan."
Oh, that's a different story. That's a different story. No, I. That's a different issue.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not effective. I'm just not sure if I understand the approach. Like, why would you make a gazera in that way?
Actually, I know people who have that kind of thing.
What?
It's like, oh, well, you know, the Rabbanan, it's not... No. It's like, okay, I have to do by 12:30, a.m. or something, and then that time passes, and they realize it's slightly past halachic midnight or something, and they say, oh my gosh, I forgot. Ah, well... But now it's either the Duraisa
or nothing.
Rabbanan, so I'm going to forget the Rabbanan, I'm doing it.
I know, that's a good question, though. That's a good question, how far those Rabbanans go. I think we mentioned that in the past. In some cases, the Rabbanan seem to be able to actually prevent you from being Mekayim the Duraisa.
Yeah, to even get it.
Again, it depends on how that works. But whatever it is, in some cases, they can actually prevent you from having the access to the Kiyam. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, that's only according to a certain school of thought. I wanted to take that issue up, actually, because maybe we should take that up tomorrow then.
But see, that idea, though, is an important thing, because that does speak to the psychology of
10% of
procrastination.